Father, as we just clear our thoughts this morning, we just come to you with humble hearts that we're able to come before you. And just as that song said, is even if we don't know the outcome, or even if we don't agree with the outcome, we still know that it's part of your plan and that you do things that benefit us. You do things that are right for us and good for us. So we just, as we sit here this morning, we just come before you with thankful hearts that we're able to have that attitude. We ask that you allow us to work out that attitude that we're all capable of. So many times we feel like we're not capable of saying, I'm good with the answer, even if it means something I don't like. So we just pray this morning that we can be challenged, that we can pray together as a church as we do, that we can grow together as a church, that we can encourage one another, that we can do right for you. As we've said before so many times, that you leave us here on this earth to just further your kingdom, to make heaven more crowded. And that's the goal of what we need to have as we sit here and learn and try to take things in our mind and our souls that are convicting to us, that challenge us, that help us grow, so we can leave here when we're here. One day out of the week, there's six other days that we have that we're in the battlefield that we need to be fighting for you. And so many times as we're out in our week, we feel like we can't even survive the battle ourselves, let alone try to help somebody else in theirs. So I just pray that you can use this time to just nourish our souls, just recharge us, just revitalize us, give us the energy to walk out of here with a battle cry that is willing to fight for you. Give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear. We all know of people that need to know who you are and that need to, maybe they already know who you are, but maybe they just need to be re-encouraged, or they themselves need to be recharged and have us show them who you are. Just give them that reflection of you. So I pray that you can just use our minds for our benefit this morning, that we may grow. We just pray for the little ones downstairs for the same, as they're wrapping up their section on the attributes of who you are, that is something that they may never lose, that they may hold on to that truth that they're going to cover this morning, and knowing the character of who you are. Just knowing your character will take them so much farther in this life to know that it is your word and your word is true, and that the words that you say are true, just like the other song we sang about the red letters. Those were Jesus' words to us. What more do we want? And give those little hearts and souls downstairs just protection as they grow on their foundation and continue to build upon their foundation. And we want to pray for just our country this morning, as there's so many areas dealing with devastation in the hurricane and weather. We know that you're the one that's in control of the weather. There again, you can be speaking to people through so many different situations and things that you do. So we pray that the people that are affected by that, they don't become bitter and harden their hearts against you, but they come to their knees and they look to you for their answers and their support and their help, and use this for an opportunity to grow. If any one of us knew what eternity would be and the rewards and the presence that we would have up there, we would ask you to create chaos and strife in our life to refocus us on you. You love us that much that you'll see us have a little bit of affliction to grow. So we just, we want to continue to pray for those people that have been affected, that you can just give them the right hearts and the right attitudes and the right mindset as they're dealing with what they seem as a complete devastation and just complete change of life in so many different areas. There's people that are sick yet we're praying for, the Dineen family, the Kaylee's family, anybody else that we know that is dealing with life changes and different things because of health and age and whatever it be. There's new normals for so many different families that we know of, and we just pray that you can just reach down and comfort them like you only can. Give us the words and the ability to help out where we can as a church and as a body and as friends and family or whatever we need to do. And I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit, you may just take over. I have nothing of value to share other than you. So please just speak to everybody, including myself, this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Matthew 7:7 is going to be in relation to prayer. And that is something, I think, when we covered prayer the last time, in the first part of what Jesus was talking about here, that it's, we all know we could be better at something. I know I can be, and prayer is usually that top thing on my list when I say in my Christian walk, in my Christian life, what is it that I could be better at? It's prayer. And I don't think I stand alone when I say this, so there's always things, and I don't know if it's just because of so much doubt that we have, that we feel like we get turned down, we feel like God doesn't listen, we feel like God didn't answer me, or God can't hear me, or whatever it is, that I think then jades our opinion about what prayer really is and how God reacts back to us. And that's something that Jesus himself is trying to tell us here, that that's not the case. The case is that God's going to do everything for our benefit, whether it's an answered prayer, yes or no, or maybe it's just a prayer that he hasn't answered yet. He hasn't said yes or no yet, and he's continued to work on that. And that gives us an opportunity to show our faithfulness to him. Is it something that we just chalk up as a loss and set aside and move on, or is it something that we stay diligent in our asking for him? So chapter 7:7, we'll just read through verse 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And prior to this, you got to remember, this is Jesus' whole conversation. So everything we've been covering, starting clear back in chapter 5, is Jesus' conversation. Okay, so you got a picture that we pick this up every week, and it seems like it drags on and drags on a week, but this is a conversation Jesus is having that is relevant then, obviously, to the things that he said prior. And prior, and if you just look at chapter 6, verse 33, the main thing to look at is, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So verse 33 of chapter 6 ties right into what chapter 7 is talking here, that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. That all ties together. So first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Why? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Why do I do that? Why can I not just focus on the things I've known or the things I've been taught or the things that I can do and accomplish? Why do I have to seek him first? If I know the answer and I know how to do it and I know how to overcome that situation, what's the point of asking him first and seeking out him first? It's a valid question. And for that, Romans chapter 8, verse 6 is a good answer of why should we seek him first. Romans 8, 6 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And then it goes on to say in 7 and 9, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So when we try to overcome everything and we try to do things, we covered last week that our battleground is our spirit and our flesh. That is our battleground. As human beings, that is where we're at. That is our day-to-day battle. That is what we got to wake up. And the threshold that we got to cross, our battlefield, is my flesh versus the Spirit. Period. So if we don't seek him, that is there the protection of what Jesus is trying to tell us right here. If you don't seek me first, or you don't seek God's kingdom first, then what's going to happen? Your mind's not going to be set on it. Your mind's going to be set on the flesh. If I don't seek that, if my mind is not, my mind is one place or the other. It can't be anywhere in between. It's either the Spirit or it's the flesh. And if it's the flesh, we're in trouble. So that's why Jesus says, seek me first. Seek me first. And a lot of times when we get into prayer and we pray for things and we ask for things, we do things, to be honest with ourselves, are we praying for things that are going to make us more comfortable or our life more easy? Is that what we pray for? Because a lot of times Jesus is going to say, if you're seeking me first, you're not going to be asking for those things. You're not going to be praying in that way, because that doesn't align with my standards. Well, what are my standards? Remember what Jesus talked about previous, even to that, is what we covered in 5 and 6. What God's standards are versus what the flesh standards are. So this is all just building upon each other, okay? So seek me first, and then what? If we seek something, we find something. That's what verse 7 says. We find it, right? So when it looks in here, you seek, you find. If we knock, something is opened. If we ask, we receive something. And that's what it gives us here. But to seek, I have to do something. To knock, I have to do something. To ask, I have to do something. And it takes works and requires an action. If I want the results, if I want to find something, it first takes an action of me seeking after something. If I want something to be open to me, I first have to knock to that. It takes me first. It takes that step that I have to do. That action is required that I have to do first, right? So to seek, we have to know what we're looking for. Otherwise, what good is trying to seek? Yeah, it says that. Seek after His kingdom and His righteousness. Do I know what that is? Do I know the things that I seek after? What are we looking for? We need to have a goal or an objective. We need something of value to seek after. If we are all honest with ourselves, we try the hardest and we seek after the things that we see value in, whether that is earthly and fleshly or spiritual and eternity. Either way, no matter where it falls, whatever we seek after in our life is something we value. Otherwise, why would I go to work every day if I didn't get a reward or I didn't see the value in having my paycheck to be able to buy whatever I need to buy? So we're seeking after something all the time. So do we even know that I need to be looking for something? That's the first thing. Do I know that? If God says first seek His kingdom, do I even realize the fact that I need to be seeking anything? When I wake up in the morning, is that a thought that crosses my mind? Seek after this. Or do I just wake up in the morning and I get on with my day and I don't care about anything? Or do I have a goal or an objective for the day? We've read all the way in chapter 5 and 6 and to where we're at now that we know we can't do it on our own. If we take everything in the red letters that Jesus has talked about, His conversation to us this far in this conversation, we know that we cannot do it on our own. So when we wake up every morning, if we don't have the attitude of seeking Him first, we know we're going to be right where Romans told us that we're going to be seeking the things of the flesh. So we have to seek that. So we can't do it on our own. Okay? To find something, if we're going to find something, we have to have a direction to go into. Otherwise, I'm not going to find it. We need clues. We need help. If I'm trying to get to a certain town or city, I use the road signs. How far out am I? Am I getting close? Am I going in this direction? If it says town this way, a different town this way, and I use a road sign to tell me what direction I need to be. Landmarks. I love landmarks. If I see something, I know that I'm getting close or I'm getting to my destination or I'm going in the right direction. Or you can use like a guide. Think of like a hunting guide to take you. I don't know where I need to go if I don't have a guide take me to where I need to go. So the question then we ask ourselves is if we're trying to find something, do we even know what we're looking for? When we wake up in the morning and we can ask ourselves that seeking after, do I know what I'm looking for? I made the decision to seek. Well, what do I want to seek? What direction do I need to go? Do I need to do this today? Do I need to make that phone call today? Do I need to reach out to this person today? Do I need to do this? What direction do I need to be headed? So to knock, we must be willing to see what's on the other side. And that is one that I relate back to the hardware, my hardware store days. We'd be in so many houses, I could be into 5 to 6 houses a day, not knowing a clue on who anybody was. And when I went up to the door and I knocked, I had to be willing to be okay with what I was going to see on the other side. Otherwise, I wasn't going to knock. And there was certain cases where I didn't knock. I did a drive-by, which was then a phone call I had to make on why we weren't going to do anything. But you could judge a certain situation by what you would see after being in so many homes that you would just drive by because I didn't feel that it was fair to throw my guys into a certain situation, so I would do a drive-by. I wouldn't knock because I wasn't willing to be okay with what was behind the door. But in certain situations, there's a heck of a good facade, and you'd knock, and you weren't ready to see what was on the other side of the door. You never knew what you were going to walk into, but I had to be willing to be okay with what was behind that door when I knocked. Okay? I had to be committed to the result of whatever was behind that door. So the question, am I willing and able to receive and adjust to the things that I ask for? What if the things I ask for aren't the things that, if I get the answer, aren't the things that I think should be the answer? If I open that door and I have somebody standing there in front of me, it's a little too late for me to say, sorry, I can't have my guys in here, I got to leave. I already was committed. I already made that. So are we committed to that choice by knocking, not knowing what's on the other side of that door? Are we okay with the even if? Even if it's a problem behind that door, before I knock, am I okay with that in my head, knowing that there could be a problem behind that door? Or the answer that I'm going to get behind that door is not one that I want or not one that I've been seeking after. It's a decision that I have to make to be able to knock. So, then do I walk in or do I turn away? They all take participation. When it's saying the seeking, knocking, and asking, it's all participation that we have to do. It takes us, it takes work, it takes an action for us to be able to do things. So, we read that, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find it. Knock, it will be opened for you. Everyone who asks, and he who seeks, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when a son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? You look at what the Our Father prayer is called back in chapter 6. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then this ends with Our Father who is in heaven. That same Father that we just acknowledged is who is going to give us the things that we ask. And that's the hard part about prayer, is that the answers a lot of times are far different than what we think they are. But do we understand that our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, do we believe that he is the one that's answering the prayers for our benefit? Our prayers are going to be answered for our benefit whether we see the benefit in it or not. God may withhold things from us that we pray for because he knows the detriment that it's going to cause us. Or he may give us the things we ask for because of the benefit for us. Or he may not answer that right away because of the benefit, because of the challenges that that's going to bring along the way of your either your spiritual life and your spiritual maturity that may grow in that challenge in that dead space of no prayers answered, or the person you're praying for. If it's a sickness, use a sickness that's a very good example of a sickness. We pray for people to be healed all the time, and a lot of times they don't get healed. You say, well, God's not hearing my prayer. Well, number one, how do I know what God's trying to do in that person's life and the people that are directly related to that person? How do I know what God's trying to do to them? We all know people that have grown in their spiritual walk or their spiritual maturity, you can call it, because of a hard situation. You probably have experienced that growth yourself with somebody or something that you've been through. Well, God, I've been praying for myself. I've had this issue. I just can't get over it. I just can't get through it. Why? And then now you look backwards on that situation. You can say, God, I see what you were trying to do. You did it for my benefit. You didn't answer my prayer right away. You allowed me to get drugged through this, to be in that valley, to do this. Yes, now I'm here. I see that. I see what you were trying to do. So, if we look at verse 11, what are these good things? When it says, if then being evil, know how to get good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask? What are these good things? God says he will give what is good to those who ask. That is in chapter 6, verse 9. That is the Our Father. He's going to do his will, right? But how do we know what these good things are? Whose standards do we define good from? That's the first thing. My standards of good or God's standards of good? Well, God's standards of good, we've just covered all of that. That's where we're leading. We've led up to this point to say that, do my standards align with God's standards, number one? But then, what do I look at as good? What are these good things? If God says He's going to give me good things, that means He's going to give me a bank account full of money. He's going to give me the best job in the world. He's going to give me this, whatever we want to do. Well, that'd be good on mine. If I had a bank account that was flush and I never had to worry about writing a check again, that'd be awesome. If I had a brand new vehicle that I didn't have to worry about breaking down on the road, that'd be awesome. If I had a house in a different state or whatever, if I had all this covered, that'd be good, right? I wouldn't have to worry about anything. But that's my standards. That's the flesh, what we talked about in Romans. What do we seek after? Those are the things of my flesh, not the things of God. What are the things of God? It's everything that we've covered. In 6:25, it's deliverance from worry. Prayer. And when God says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those that ask Him? He can give me deliverance from my worry, my anxieties. He can give me deliverance from my self-dependence. I don't have to worry. I don't have to work for all this money because I can only serve one master. He can give me the ability to be full of light. We've covered. He can deliver me from evil. That's 6:13. He can deliver me because of a path. He can give me a deliverance with a path out of temptation. That's a good thing, right? He can give me the ability to be a conqueror of evil. There's evil in the world all around us every day. We're either sucked in or we can conquer it. What do you think a good thing would be in prayer? To be able to fall right back into that evil and fall into that gossip and maligning and that whatever it is that we just fall down with the world and we take and we run with it? That's evil that God defines as evil, not me. I say this, or they say this, but I say this, says Jesus. So we're going backwards. If you want to know what good is, it's everything that we've covered. The standards of God versus ours. A good thing to be would have a servant's heart and an attitude of compassion. That would be a good thing. We covered that. How to have spiritual maturity. We looked at spiritual growth and rewards. That's a good thing God gives us. How to have a healthy marriage. That's something that God gives us. How to have integrity. We've covered that. How to have mercy and forgiveness to others. We've covered that. How to handle our anger. We've covered that. How to be salt and light to the world. We've covered that. So when we say that, God, you don't answer my prayers, God, I can't hear you, God, I'm going to do it my way because you didn't give me an answer, how many of those things that we just covered fall into that category because I shut down and I didn't do any of those? Well, God, you didn't answer my prayer. Well, was that because I was worried about it the whole time and I didn't turn it over to God like He says to let Him handle it? Do I fall into temptation all the time, but then I don't pray that God gets me out of that? He says right here that He's going to give me the good things. If I pray and I ask Him for the things, if I seek after His standards, His righteousness, His good things, He's going to give me what is good. He says it right here. He's not going to lie. That's what the kids are covering downstairs today, is truth, veracity. He can't lie. And if we believe that with the character who He is, He just wrote it here. He wrote it in 6:33, but seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What things will be added to me? The same things that are good. He will add the good things to me. But I must first seek after Him. If I seek, if I find it, and then I knock it in my prayer and in my asking, what's He going to do? He's going to open the door. He says He will. So all that stuff, my anxiety, my worries, my self-dependence, my just crappy attitude that I have, my temptations I fall in, the evil things that I do, my heart of that's not pure but it has evil motives, all that stuff that we all fight with, Do we pray for that stuff? Do we pray for ourselves to deliver us from that stuff? Or are we so focused on the things that we want to advance in our prayers that we leave all that stuff because we don't really look at that as a need? But if we would recognize those as a need, how would our day be different? If we know that we need to be rescued from anxiety, if we know that we need to be rescued from temptations, if we know that we need to be rescued from evils, if we know that we need to be rescued from whatever issue it is that we have, why don't we just ask? There hasn't been one prophecy not fulfilled that he said he was going to do. There hasn't been one thing not fulfilled in this Bible, one lie. There's not one lie in this Bible. So why do I have to have something, even when it, Jesus himself spoke these words, not 15 verses apart from each other? Why do I have to doubt that? That's what he's saying is, I'm going to give you the good things. And how do you know that? Because what do you do with you? We're evil human beings. That song said we should have been nailed on the cross. We should have been nailed on a cross. That's what we deserved. We deserve to be nailed on that cross. So we are evil people. Do I give my kids crappy gifts, crappy things? I don't even know what good is, and I can give my kids something that's good. I give them what they ask for if it's good to them. Contrast, do I give my kids something that they ask for if I know it's bad for them? If my kid wakes up in the morning and wants to have a brownie for breakfast, do I give it to them? They asked, right? Does it mean I give it to them? No, because I know the harmful effect it's going to have on them. It's not a healthy breakfast for them. They can't have a brownie for breakfast and ice cream. Would it be good? Temporarily, yeah, it is. But I don't give it to them. Maybe that's how God is viewing us in our situations. We're asking for something that is temporarily good that we think we want now, but we can't see the harmful effects of it, so we don't get it. God withholds that from us to give us the good things. So, as we go into communion, we'll close so we can go on with communion.